Hello there, creators. Welcome back to another episode of Conscious Creation. I'm so excited. This is my third guest out of the many that will be on here, and I'm really excited for this conversation. We've communicated a little bit online, but haven't really been able to like dive deep together, and I'm really excited because we've both been called to really connect, but I'm glad we're finally having the chance to. So everyone give a little round of applause to River. Welcome to Conscious Creation.
Hi, Kaden. Hi, God.
Hello.
Thanks.
Have you ever been on a podcast before?
Yeah. I used to help my friend run one.
Oh,
I've
cool.
done not many, but a few. A handful.
Nice. Awesome. So I really wanted to first dive in and just get your perspective because this is what really intrigued me when we first started talking was
Yeah.
And correct me on the terminology and everything, but when we first started communicating, you were in Costa Rica doing integrative medicine work. And is that like the right terminology to use? Cool. So would you mind like just describing it to like everyone who may not know what that actually is?
I was called to so I lived in New York City for a while, and we were just touching on like what I used to work in like fashion. I used to work in photography, and I still do kind of, but that was like my whole life. Before I went to Costa Rica, and during the pandemic, I just kind of slowed down, stopped working, obviously, as we all did, and like thought more deeply about what I wanted to do with my life and like what actually lit me up. And I have a degree in psychology, and I always like my plan had always been to like work in fashion, do my thing, and then like at some point transition into becoming like either a psychologist or a therapist. And that was like the original, like when I was like 19 or 20 when I first started with photography. But yeah, I don't know. It's been interesting to follow this path. I've worked with plant medicines for a while, probably since I was 18 or 19. I worked with mushrooms a lot, psilocybin, and had always been in an environment for ayahuasca, but had never gotten the chance to dive into it myself. And got the chance to do that last year, early last year. I did that in Costa Rica, and I was still living in New York, so I went to Costa Rica, did my thing, and then came back to New York. I lasted like another month, I think, in New York, and I was like, okay, I can't do this
I
anymore.
was about
Like,
to
I need
say,
to
like,
leave.
how was that coming back? Like, I feel like even though you're used to New York, like once you would come back from a journey like that, I feel like it would almost feel like a culture shock again.
Yeah, it was really intense. It was, I mean, I'd just been like in the jungle, like connecting to my whatever you want to call it, my soul, my highest self, my, all the like all this huge opening had like a kundalini awakening, and then was like kind of thrust back into like then I was like on the subway, and I was like, what is like I don't know. It was really jarring. But I don't know. I think I had to do that because I have such a deep relationship and connection to New York. I had lived there for like 8 or 9 years, and I love New York, and I like found myself in New York and just have like this deep connection to it that I think I needed to go back and like see the juxtaposition and like see, I don't know, just like feel the difference between the two and like ease out, I guess. I don't know. But it all happened like pretty quickly once I got back, like a week and a half after I got back. My roommates and I were like trying to find another apartment that we'd lived in. And we lived in the same apartment the whole pandemic, and you can imagine what has been like. It was a lot. It was fun with my friends, but it was a lot. So we were looking for a new space, and I was just feeling like all this resistance to it. Like I was like crying about a room that didn't have a closet, and I was like, why am I what did like what do I need? Like, why am I so upset about this? And I think the takeaway was that I just didn't want to be in New York anymore. I wanted my own space. I wanted to do my own thing. I didn't want to be tied up in my roommates anymore. And not that I was tied up in them, but we had just been so energetically and physically close for so long that it was like, okay, maybe we all do our own things. And that was voiced, and everybody, like my two other roommates, got their own apartments. And I was like, I think I'm just going to put my stuff in storage and just like leave. And my sister was living in Mexico at the time, and I was talking to her about it, about trying to figure out my next steps. And she was like, why don't you just come here for a month? Like, just, I have a house on the beach. We have an extra room. Just come and chill. And then you can decide what you want to do after that. And I was like, okay. So I did that. And that was amazing. And I don't even know where to start, but I went on this journey to this mountain town. I was staying on the coast in Mexico. I was in Oaxaca, and I went into the mountains by myself, to this like mushroom town. And I did mushrooms alone. And when I was coming down from them, I got a call from someone that I had sat with in ceremony in Costa Rica, who was like, hey, I'm moving to Costa Rica for a couple months. Do you want to come live in this house with me where you can go work on the farm and we can be around medicine and do that? And that was kind of what I really wanted to, I mean, it was what I wanted to do. So I was like, yeah, of course. So I canceled my flight home and bought another flight to Costa Rica. And 2 days before I left, my friend canceled on me. And she was like, I'm so sorry. I can't go. This feels really good for me, so I'm just going to do it. And she was really supportive and helpful.
Yeah.
And I got there, and it's like in the middle of the mountains in Costa Rica, and it's intense. And it's not some, like, I understand her, my friend's, maybe like hesitant. I don't know. I just understand why she was like, I can't go. Cause if you're not called to go there, you're like, not that you can't go, but it's like, it's rough. I went, and I was living in this little cabin like down the road from the farm that I was working on, but I hadn't like spoken to the owners of the farm at all, and I hadn't been back to that farm since February. I hadn't been in a couple months. So I just, like, when I got there, I showed up on their doorstep, and I was like, hey, remember me? And they were like, yeah, oh my God, hi. And I was like, I'm going to be here for a month or so. Like, can I work here? And the owner is amazing. She was just like, yeah, of course. Just the way she weaves people is like, yeah, it was amazing. She was just like, yeah, of course. Okay, you do that. Oh, these are your skills. Okay, yeah, come on over. I really got, like, I think initiated into that mountain up there. And I was pretty much alone without much supplies. Like, you have to hike to the grocery store, and like, it's like a whole experience. And it was like the beginning of rainy season. Like, it would just rain and the power would go out. And yeah, it was a lot, but I don't know. I got like really cleared out.
And I was, so were you living alone at that point?
Yeah, I was at like I was in a cabin in, like it's this huge house, and it's split into different cabins, and someone lived above me, but they were natives and lived in Costa Rica, so they would like travel a lot and go other places, and they had a car. And yeah, that was a different, that was a lot. It was not good, like,
immersed in it. Yeah. So how did you get into like the integrative part?
Yeah, sorry, that was like a lot of background story to get. You're fine. I'm like, okay, so you're like, can you answer that?
No.
So that whole journey led me to working at the farm, and the farm that I worked on often holds ceremonies there, and we do work with plant medicine. So I was sitting in a lot of ceremonies in kind of doing my own work on my own soul level as I was finding my place at the farm. Like, when I first started working there, I was just like working at the juice bar and then was sitting in ceremony and would be part of the groups and it just kind of became clear to the owner of the land, I should really say the stewardess of the land, because she really is, she doesn't like own that land. I mean, she does technically own it, but like she's a stewardess of that land. And one of the other women that worked at the farm, it just became clear that I was like more part of the team than just like a kind of like a satellite job. So
yeah,
found my footing more and more. And then I don't know, it just gave way to me sitting like a lot. I sat like, and when I say sit, I mean I was in ceremonies drinking plant medicine. So I was journeying, and
going deep.
Going really deep. I like, sat like 45 times.
Wow. In a year.
It was like, I don't know, it just, it was a lot, but it made sense. Like I it was work that I needed to be doing. And I think one of the takeaways from being there was like seeing so many groups come through. I saw like, it was so easy to see like the crystal clear moment, or maybe even it's not crystal clear, after a ceremony where people feel so like connected and open, and after such like a profound, transcendental, a highly vibrational experience where they feel so opened up and so heart open, especially in that place too. But then how easy that was to, how like how easy it might have been to become disconnected from it as you move back into your life, whatever your life is. So it became part of my work last year to just like be integration and not just like talk about integration where, you know, after a circle we would sit the next morning and like talk about our experiences. Integration for me was beautiful in those moments, of course, to connect to people that had, you know, that were in that space. But integration for me on in my own personal life is a lived experience, and it unfolds in the mundane, it unfolds in ceremony, it unfolds in every aspect of life.
Yeah, and I think that's a very, that's not very much understood, especially for like beginners on the spiritual realm. Integration is you taking the steps towards the actual embodiment of what you learned. Because and it doesn't even have to be plant medicine. It could be just any profound understandings or like awakenings, perspectives that you shift into. It's not over once you know it in your mind. Like that's the difference between the knowledge and the wisdom. You have to actually embody it. And that means going throughout your life and actually facing that challenge and that resistance that you had before of being able to like change your perspective. And that part, it can be challenging because it's like, well, I already know what I need to do and it's not working. Like what's happening? Like, why am I not changed? And it's like there's work and there's choices and there's action that you have to take to embody the wisdom that you've uncovered.
Totally. No, totally. I mean, I felt the same in my own life. I would, you know, learn this like beautiful, crystallized, amazing lesson and feel so warm and heart opened, and then be faced with that very exact thing that I had moved through, and I'd be like, I thought that I moved through this, and I was like, oh shit, this is like, okay, this is where I do it. Well, like this is where I let go of it. And you know,
yeah, and sometimes it's even like, and this has happened many times in my like journey so far, is like I'll learn something and then I don't actually integrate it into my daily choices and practice. And then like 2 weeks later, I'll be like, what the fuck? Like, why am I feeling so off? Like, why am I feeling this resistance? And then I'd have to learn it again. And I'd be like, oh shit. Yeah, that's it. Like I didn't actually end up changing anything and like actually embodying those new decisions that I wanted to make for myself. And I'm like, well, like ding, 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 duh.
Right.
And it wouldn't just happen once or twice either. It would be like four or five or six times sometimes right. for me to finally be like, okay, fine, like I'll do it.
Yeah, it's like how many times you need to get knocked on your ass to like, oh, okay, I got it now.
Yeah, literally.
It's so interesting too, because like a lot of that integration work that I was doing there was like seeing that mechanism at play where the mind comes in after that learned wisdom, after that open-hearted moment, whether it's with plant medicine, whether it's in yoga, whether it's in whatever, you know, method yeah. or tool that you're using to locate yourself, like whatever that heart opening point was, where the mind comes in and tells stories about what that actually, like what that means. So like that's that framework of like, oh, I just learned that. What, oh, what does this mean? Like, why do I have to do this again? And it's like, what is this? I don't know. It's like this reshifting. And for me, it was like the ways that my ego would kind of like reshift around a new point where I would have this big expansion. And then my ego would get like really, I don't know, maybe like scared, or I don't want to project a story on it, but like whatever would happen where the narrative would reshift. And my ego would just be back in its place. And I'm like, okay, what is the mechanism then that allows this to move through? And that for me was like that the practice of integration.
Yeah. And well, also, what happens is like you get into that expansive state, and then after a while it kind of wears down and you come back down and ground in again, or like not even, it may not even be grounding, but you do come back to kind of the old ways that you've been, and it is kind of jarring. It's like, wait, hold on. Like, I was just feeling so expansive. Like, why am I back down here again?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like it's almost another trap, like the mind really likes to like keep things in order and like notice patterns and things like that. So if that comes up again, it's so easy for the mind to be like, look, nothing changes, like look, I'm still in this scenario. But it's the practice was opening your heart to opening my heart to an experience that was going to transform me and like make my wisdom that I learned a lived reality, and like to deepen my knowing with that wisdom, you know, because I feel like I can sit. Anyone can like learn, and intellectually, I think about this a lot too, that like I'm smart, I guess, and I liked to talk and like get through and intellectually understand and like really like talk circles around pathologizing myself or psychoanalyzing something. But the way that transmutes is to just give way and to experiencing.
And I can relate to that really deeply, because what sign are you?
I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I'm a Gemini, and so I'm all up in my mind from the get-go, and the very beginning of my spiritual journey, it was all knowledge. It was just like this mass consumption of like knowing and knowing and knowing. And that's how actually this podcast started for me. I was like, I have so much knowledge that I've learned throughout this experience. And like, and it wasn't even like my own experience and that was the difference. It wasn't my wisdom that I've conjured through my experience, but it was from all of the consumption of books or podcasts or just other from TikTok or whatever it is, and I would just reverberate it. And so it wasn't actually coming from a grounded perspective of like truly understanding what this is, but it was coming from I know this, like this is how this works, and this is blah blah blah. And it doesn't, I was even talking about it the other day, I've gone back to like earlier podcasts of mine, and I'm just like, oh, KK. Like, I'm like, you don't know, buddy.
No, literally.
You tried.
Literally.
It's interesting to look back at that.
It's just so interesting. Like, that whole mechanism of like wanting to know. Like, I think that
I was in that because I was the only, I would say in my friend group, I was the one that was like, I was going through an awakening in a sense, right. And I wanted to share it all with all of them. And so I would just consume and like tell them and be like, yeah, look what I know. Like this is this, and then this is that. And they'd be like mind blown. And I'd be like, yeah, haha, I know that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what?
No, yeah.
And it was a big shock for me when I actually had to sit down and start feeling, because this was during a big phase of, I was smoking a lot. The marijuana, and yeah. Bless her, I would not be where I am without her. And it made it so I wasn't capable of actually feeling and getting into my body and being like, okay, what is up, Kaden? Like, mm-hmm. what are you going through? What's present for you? Because I was just in my mind and just consuming and coping. Like it is a great medicine, and it can be used to also not feel anything.
Right.
And so that was like a big thing, especially you being a Scorpio too. I'm a Scorpio moon. And so
that's actually hilarious because I'm a Gemini moon.
Are you?
Yeah.
Nice. So I feel you on the Scorpio part, and that's something that I've been able to awaken to, which has taken a lot of sitting with myself and really like going deep and fucking feeling. And that was painful for my Gemini ass for a long mm-hmm. time, because I was like, what is wrong with me? And I realize now, like, that's such a superpower of mine to be able to like sit and truly like deeply feel.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. The feeling is like, I think that for me, like, that was always the pull, because that, like, the Scorpio, it's always like deep and intense, and like I always like craved that like depth and feeling, and I used to, I mean, maybe I still do, but I used to really like try to pull it out of other people. So that was the beginning of my spiritual awakening, where I was like, look at all of this, I understand, like, can't you be in it with me, like, can't you look at this with me? And it caused a lot of like tension in my relationships, like people that would really make me wrong for it, and then I would get to play the game where I was like, oh, why doesn't anybody understand, and like I understand this so much, and like I'm the one that's feeling and seeing it all, like, you know, this whole like victimization of that process.
Yeah, but
I think what actually was the tea was like I needed to create space for myself to go and feel those things and do it on my own and go journey really deeply. And it wasn't about proving it to anybody. It was about proving it to myself.
Yeah. We look for that validation in others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to move my language around it, because I that's really what kind of moved me in Costa Rica, like moving out of that codependency, because out there, like, the community there, the land there, it's not something that like coddles you, like no one's gonna enable you. It's like, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it's like you're out there on your own, and it's not that people don't support you, but they're supporting you to find your own power. So that's been like the journey. I mean, my journey lately is to just locate myself in any situation that I'm in, and to find my own power and where I can give power back to myself.
I feel that really deeply. And that's a big thing I'm going through right now, is I'm recognizing how like truly sensitive I am to, like, my energy is always, it's always responding and, like blending with the energies around me. Like I even was at a coffee shop yesterday or the day before, and this is just such a weird sensation, but I was just sitting there, and I, like, in my peripheral vision, there was a guy sitting like kind of next to me, and I just felt in this exact moment and just started like twitching my leg in a sense, or like I don't know how to fully describe it, but I was just like kind of pumping my leg up and down. I don't know how to really describe it. Like the restless leg syndrome or whatever it is. Yeah, that. Yeah. And as soon as I felt it and started doing it, the guy beside me did it too. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I just picked that up from this dude. Like, mm-hmm. I don't do that, but I could feel it as soon as he was going into it. I felt it too. And it just really helped me recognize like how sensitive my energy is. And I think it's a very beautiful gift and I'm very grateful for it. And I'm realizing like, I have to have that time for myself because I'll get lost and I won't know who I am.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so important to find that, like, the center of you and to go into those, you know, to go back that I feel like, I don't know, like being in Costa Rica, doing all that, like I think that was my time to like sit and be in my own thing. And now it's been like going back into the matrix, for lack of a better word, like back into New York and back into these places that are so swirling and people do feel really ungrounded and people's energies are like, I don't know, they're overwhelming to a certain degree, and trying not to like victimize myself to it. Cause I used to really do that, to be like, wow, I can't be here because X, Y, Z or whatever the story was about it, but to ground myself in myself and to move into those and just have, I don't know, just to have you be it. And it starts with that awareness, you know, it starts with the clarity to see those moments.
Yeah. And like the recognition of like, I get to choose where my boundaries lie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It is just giving your energy, like it, like that victimization that you're talking about, you can be pulled into that, but it's like, well, they're not doing it to you. Mm-hmm. You're allowing it just as much as they are. It's a mutual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the, just thinking about all this, like the, for me, the, especially in my work, it comes with like my work for myself and the work for people that I work with integration is the awareness. Just the awareness, like cultivating that awareness and the ability to see something like that and to not make it wrong and to not make it, because like that is a lot of what I get. It's easy to get sucked into. It's like, oh my God, how did I not see that? Oh my God, I'm going to beat myself up over it. Oh my God. Like, especially like intellectualizing things, being like, I know this, like, I know this, like, why can't I do this? Like, that's part of it too, because then it's like, so it's been about like drawing the awareness, and if you can bring awareness to it, then that brings a little bit more space around it, then you can breathe a little bit deeper into it, and then it doesn't become so contracted, the leg doesn't feel so tight and constricted, and you know what I mean.
Yeah. And like the acceptance of it, because when it comes to integration, it's not even like, how long do they usually stay with you in the integration?
clients. Usually we have calls for like an hour.
Okay. So do they just keep going until they feel like they've kind of like, oh, okay, I'm good now.
Usually like we'll talk about something that came up for them in a journey. And something that they'd want to integrate. And usually there's some charge around. I mean, not usually. It depends what unfolds. But some charge around it. Whether that's like emotion that needs to be released or what have you. And to get clearer on that mechanism of letting the old story die. And letting the new wisdom settle in more deeply. So that happens. It doesn't happen in like one call per se, like I was saying before, like it's really a lived experience, but the calls are meant to be those reminders and like those check-ins and giving of tools to support when those moments feel intense, when the light, sparkly, sunshiny, open-hearted moment kind of fades away.
Yeah.
To carry you through those darker moments, and not seeing them as darker moments, just carrying you through moments that you need to either, not need to, I'm trying to I'm really trying to be careful about like my language around it, because the frequency is so deep. Because even saying like I need to move this energy, I feel like it holds a frequency of like shoulds and need to, and because there is a certain way to be. But
yeah, like it's the holding the expectation of like I'm not supposed to be feeling this,
right?
And it's exactly what you're supposed to be feeling.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like a big thing with my integration, at least that in my experience, is like you get the awareness, that's step number one. And then at that point, it's I loved how you said it's like in the mundane, it's in you actually experiencing the opposite of the perspective shift that you've had, where that's where you have the opportunity to shift. Mm-hmm. Because like, just say with codependency patterns, I've like in my own life, there's been times where I'll be triggered and I'll have that kind of that energy within me. And as I'm learning to like heal those patterns, they have to come up again. Mm-hmm. They have to come up so that you can rewrite the story of them. And it's, I love what you're saying. It's about the acceptance of like, Hey, Caden, like I'm tuning into you. I feel that you feel a little like you're upset right now. You're triggered, or you feel not seen, or whatever it may be. And it's like, I see you and I accept you in that. And I know, like, trust that you are safe. Trust that you are seen, and trust that even if you aren't seen by another person, that I see myself, that mm-hmm. I'm confident in who I am, and that I'm grounded in who I am, and I don't need another individual to make sure that I'm okay. And that's just an example in codependency, but that's every part of life, is that integration of having to experience it again. And that's, a lot of people think it's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's like, why am I experiencing this? Like, I know what's the right thing. And it's like, yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's like seeing it as the opportunity to actually embody it. Because if you really, I got this download in a sense of like, your world is created by every single decision that you make in your life. And so if you were to zoom out and see every single decision laid out in front of you, just say out of a month span, in that month, you're going to be experiencing that polar opposite, in a sense, that polarity of the opposite of that new awareness that you have. And it's about when you get to that moment where your conditioning is within, like when your conditioning is to be in that old paradigm, in a sense, it's about then going into that moment and changing that and flipping it. And it is that process, because your decisions are what create who you are, in a sense, and how you perceive things and what you believe. And so you have to actually, moment by moment, just as you were saying, you have to go through your actual experience to be able to shift.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, it takes that awareness to, because what you're saying about like decisions, just each decision creates our reality, and these decisions, in those moments of awareness where you can look at a decision or look at a moment that's coming up for you, you take your power back, because then you don't allow the unconscious to swoop in and carry out a story that you might unconsciously believe about yourself. Mm. So it takes that moment of like, wow, why is this coming up again? Okay, maybe there doesn't need to be a why. It's here for me to feel and like to give awareness to. And like that awareness just keeps unfolding and keeps unfolding. And then the unconscious comes up and it's like, that's not a belief that I want to hold. I don't want to believe that this is hard for me. I don't want to believe that I can't move through this. I don't want to believe that X, whatever the belief is, whatever the unconscious mechanism is, just taking your power back from that in those moments of awareness, in those moments of like where it feels like maybe a loss of control to gain. I don't want to say gain control, because it's not about control. I don't know, to keep your center, I guess.
And I think that kind of goes into the recognition as well that that experience that you're having in that moment of that old condition that you're like rewriting, it's not you.
Right.
It's just something you're experiencing and allowing yourself to detach from it and see it from a higher perspective.
Yeah, that's the most interesting thing to witness, like in being at that farm and seeing so many people come through. I mean, it really helped me in my integration work because I would see the way that the mind comes in and the way that people make definitive statements about themselves. Oh, I don't do that. I'm not an angry person. Or, oh, I would feel too bad if that happened. Or I don't, that's not what I do. It's like, well, maybe this is a moment for you to let go of that story and move into whatever wisdom is coming through for you right now. And yeah, it's what really propels me to work with integration, because I've been thinking about this a lot, because I mean, I mainly work with psychedelics as my main tool for, I don't know, expansion, I guess. I don't really know what to call it, but I usually work with psychedelics, and psychedelics are kind of useless if you don't have a support system or an integration system. And not to say that there aren't moments where you feel connected and those help you in psychedelics, but I just watch people rebuild and see the framework that exists come in when the very nature of psychedelics feels the exact opposite, to surrender, to let go, to let a feeling move through. So I don't know what I'm trying to say, but that just feels my method of helping, of supporting people through those experiences, to give yourself your power back in those moments.
Yeah.
And to not have it just be about like, I need psychedelics to do this, or I need yoga to do this, I need whatever to do this, whatever the tool is. It's about using whatever tool to locate who you are.
Yeah. How would you, because I was literally just about to ask that question to you, of like, what's the advice you would give to someone that is attached to that higher state of awareness? Or let's just say in my life, when I was smoking a lot of weed, I attached my spirituality to the sensation of being high. So what is like the advice you would give to someone who is kind of in that realm?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Well, in the sense of spirituality, spirituality is all of life. Like, life is a spiritual experience. And I think that these plants, cannabis included, give us these window, like they're very intelligent plants. Cannabis is a very intelligent plant. Psilocybin is a very intelligent fungi. Ayahuasca is a very intelligent plant, and they all have their voice to teach us, teach us whatever they're trying to teach us, and to open up. So it's easier, I guess, if you're, you know, if you're feeling called towards these plants, to access those states. But those states of mind and whatever visions, feeling, that openness, whatever plant medicine does for you. And for me, I feel it's about an openness. I think I've never really actually put that to words.
Yeah.
But these plants are teaching us. Like, my work with ayahuasca was, she was teaching me how to move through. She was showing me certain things. She was showing me my subconscious. She was showing me how to feel through an emotion, how to let something rip, how to breathe, how to use my hands, how to access these states without it and integrate them into my life. So I would go throughout my day or whatever, you know, and have an experience and be like, oh, I need to, I think I need help. Like, I need to go. Sometimes, like, you know, you would turn towards marijuana, or like you would turn towards whatever you turn towards. And I would go back to the plant to ask a question, and she would be like, you know what to do. I've taught you how to do this. And I'm like, okay, right. Oh, yeah, you're right. So I think that people that are in that space is that these states of consciousness that are achieved through psychedelics, through cannabis, I would say that cannabis is a type of psychedelic, but these states of consciousness are available. They're your birthright. It's who you are as a person. It's who our ancestors were. It's who you're an interdimensional light being that came to this planet to do things. And I think the places that keep us out of it, you know, poison in our food or electromagnetic radiation or being on our phones or wherever our attention is, you turn it inward and can stay open in your own inner world. You'd be surprised at how available these states of consciousness and visions and wisdom, how available that is to you in your waking sober life.
So what are some of those things for like the viewers out there that are wanting to maybe get away from having to use to get to those states of being? Like you said breath, mm-hmm. but like what other things have you found?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm thinking of three things. The first thing is, of course, breath, what we just said, like taking a moment to feel into your body and to give space around whatever you're feeling. The breath is life. Like breath is what keeps us alive. It's our consciousness. It's breath is the original psychedelic. It's an incredible tool to come back to the body and come back into that openness, come back into your heart.
And to add on to that is like kind of like full circle coming back to the codependency or like the boundaries and everything. It is coming back to like, this is who I am,
mm-hmm.
and coming back, like bringing back to your center, into your heart space and perceiving from that space again.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like in a moment where you're out at a coffee shop and your leg is shaking and you're picking up on the frequency in the room. It's like, okay, I'm in my body. Mm-hmm. I feel this. This is not mine. What is mine? Does that need to move? Mm-hmm. Do I need to shake my leg? Maybe I do. Okay, now I'm back. Like, you know, it's just such an amazing like grounding tool. So that's one of them. Another one is, I mean, just meditation. And when I say meditation, I mean like sitting still. And I feel like there's a lot of resistance or like maybe confusion about what meditation means, perhaps. I mean, I'll speak for myself. I didn't really understand meditation because I thought it just meant you had to be like completely silent and like your mind had to just be completely quiet. And like that was meditation. But meditation for me and for many others, but I'll speak for myself, but is to just sit still. Like to, if I'm feeling overwhelmed or if I'm feeling off center, if I'm feeling triggered, to just take a moment to sit completely still. Like sit up straight with my back tall, my crown connected to other dimensions, the cosmos, and my root connected firmly to the earth, and to close my eyes and listen to my inner wisdom, let my nervous system calm down. And that's hard for a lot of people because people's minds like to take them out of that are like, I can't sit still. I need to do this. I don't have time for that. Like, that's one of the main things I hear around meditation. I don't have time for meditation, or like, I can't just sit still. It's like, that's part of the practice, mm-hmm. is observing where you feel like you don't have time. One, making time for yourself, and two, observing like where your mind is taking you, and that you're not those thoughts. It's like, oh, I need to get up and I need to clean my room. And it's like, okay, maybe there is time to clean your room, but right now you're here. You're right here. You're in your body.
I recognize like whenever I am in that state of like, I don't have time, like I have all these things to do. When you can take that moment and take those breaths and come back to center, you actually have so much more time.
Yeah. You're like, oh, wait. Because then you don't feel as rushed. You're like, oh, wait, I actually have plenty of time.
Yeah, because, and then your mind doesn't just keep going of, like, all these to-do list things that you have to, like, quote-unquote, have to do. But it's like,
right.
Okay, where am I now? What am I doing in this moment? And just doing that in full presence, too. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's another thing with meditation. It doesn't have to be fully sitting still either.
Yeah,
like,
true.
It can be stillness of activity. I don't know how to like fully describe that, but like say you're cooking dinner or something,
right?
Being present in that is stillness,
right?
Because you're like fully experiencing each cut of your knife or each the aroma that you're experiencing or whatever it may be or whatever activity you're in, but you're fully in it. And so that is where there's this like explosion of time in a sense. It's timeless.
Yeah. In those moments of presence that like you're saying, like transcend time. And you're right, yeah, anything can be a meditation. Life is a meditation, like I think that when I speak of meditation and like in terms of sitting still, I think of being like triggered in those moments of like where things don't feel like a meditation. I don't know if that makes any sense, but.
Well, yeah, it's slowing down because like sometimes we get so stimulated by the external world that anything that we look at or anything that we do, it causes this chain reaction of the mind going crazy. Mm-hmm. And that's where you're really speaking of is like slowing down, coming back to center, closing your eyes, coming back into yourself. And not that you're trying to fight the experience in your mind, but just viewing it from a different place. And again, it comes back to the attachment of if you're having all these thoughts, it's not that you have to go do them all. And like when you can sit in that stillness, it's like, I witness you. I see you.
Yeah.
And not having to act on it and just being in that stillness for sure.
Yeah. And usually in that moment of stillness, if there is that frantic energy or if there's something that needs to come up, it just happens. Like I'll sit still and feel like I have to cry and like crying comes out or like maybe there's anger and I'm like screaming into a pillow or like maybe something cathartic happens or you know there's just so much like that can happen in those moments but yeah, that's definitely one of my go-tos.
Yeah.
And then I think the last what did I say, there were three things: breathwork, meditation, and something that's been really important in my integration practice. And I think everyone can benefit from this, but is finding your voice. And that's really been through chanting for me. It's part of my daily practice. I chant every day and it allows me a minute to sit still. Like I take time out of my day to sit still and sit upright and chant whatever it could be any mantra. It could be, when I first started, I was moving through each seed sound of the chakras.
Mm-hmm.
So I started with Lam and it started out of a need for integration. Cause I was in like a really beautiful group, a really expansive group of people. I was sitting in ceremony with them, had really profound journeys, was feeling really held by the container, and then the container left. And I was still there on the farm alone and was feeling really ungrounded. And I was like, what? I need a practice. Like I need something to ground me back into myself. Cause I just felt so blown out. And that led me to starting with Lam. And I did Lam I chanted Lam, a mala of Lam for 40 days, which is the root. And it got me like really into my body, grounded, stable. I felt like less dizzy. I felt my mind felt a little quieter. And then I just started to move up the chakras. So I did Vam for 40 days. I did Ram and then I did Yom, and then I did Hum, all for 40 days. And then I just like felt called to other mantras, and I'm in one right now of a purification mantra that's been really supportive for me, and that's been part of my practice. So yeah.
Awesome. So I kind of did want to ask you, I was curious, mm-hmm. it's been on my mind too, of what the experience has been like in the modeling, in that experience that you have, like how is it when you go in there and feel into that space of like, can you feel into the, are there mental challenges with the models or those feelings of like unworthiness, or even not even within the model, but within I guess I'm trying to point to like the mental illness side of the modeling in a sense, like mm-hmm. how have you witnessed and experienced that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think when I first started, it was about connecting to the person in front of me, whoever I was shooting, and making them feel comfortable and seen and like a person. So that has always been something that has been at the root of my work, like emotion and connection and that relationship between two people, you know, a model and a photographer creating a moment together. It's really like a ritual. It's really vulnerable to be a model, to be seen in certain respects. And I don't know, it's a really beautiful place to explore, but it can be really fraught with, bad intention, but it could get really sticky. If it's approached without awareness or intention or love, and
yeah, and that kind of like objectifying in a sense too,
right? Because I think people are shooting for a variety of different reasons. I think some people shoot because, I mean, I don't want to actually project stories, but I think people shoot for a variety of different reasons. I think people have different motivations, whatever their mind tells them. So I think what happens is there's ground for the unconscious and the shadow to come in and distort some of the relationships that happen. So, I mean, it really just boils down to like presence, being really present with like a model and like their needs and the moment and like what feels good and what the flow of the shoot is and things like that, to get like the shot that you want, because not even that you want, like that, I don't even go in and I'm like, oh, this is the shot that I want to walk away with. I go it like the way that I conduct my shoots is I go in with a feeling and like a vision and the essence of a person. And I just kind of let that unfold, and try to create a safe space for that to unfold and for people to feel comfortable to be themselves and explore in that way.
Yeah.
So that's come through in my, like, in working. And I started working in backstage, and I think maybe that's why I was so successful with it, is because people liked me.
Yeah, I was about to say, did you kind of get that reflection? Like, because I do feel like a lot, it is more, they don't really see the person as an individual, but as this item or just this kind of like, this medium to get to where they want. But with you, yeah, I can even feel that of like you going in and recognizing the purest way in the way of like seeing and capturing the truest essence of it is through making, like, creating a space of openness and vulnerability and safety,
right?
Which I feel is, I mean, and I don't really know the fashion industry that well, but just from my own perception of it, like, that's not really created that much.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty rare to feel like completely comfortable in the fashion industry. But I don't know, that was part of my work to, like, to be that and to feel that and connect with people. And I've been really lucky in my career to have connected with people that see that in me and that, yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's a beautiful quality to, like, bring into that.
Yeah. And I try to hold on to that. I mean, I always try to hold on to that in my life. And especially now going back into it, because I mean, I have a lot of, like, resentment towards the industry. And I don't know, a part of me when I first started too was approaching it from, like, the need to be validated as well. Like, I wanted to shoot that because it would look cool on Instagram. You know, like, I definitely was sucked into, I guess, like, the exhibition. And I'm not sure what to call it, but, like, the exhibitionism of the industry, or, like, the it's very easy to get caught up in that. I was back
so in, like, idealism, kind of,
I guess. Yeah, like, the way that everyone's like, wow, that's so amazing, and it, like, the ego of it, like, it definitely boosted my ego to be, like, flown out to Paris to shoot something and be like, okay, I did that, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
that's pretty fucking cool. Either way.
Fun, but... yeah.
And I know, okay, I do want to, like, shooting for Hunter Schaefer.
Yeah, I mean, she and I have known each other for a long time. I've known her since before she I haven't spoken to her in a while, but when she was first starting with modeling, we were, like, I met her. I was doing a shoot for Love magazine. I was shooting her girlfriend at the time for Love, and her girlfriend was living with her in Bushwick. So I, like, went to her house in Bushwick.
Yeah.
And we, like, that was the first time we met, and I was like, you're fucking awesome. And she was like, you're fucking awesome. Like, we just connected, and we ended up doing a shoot together. And literally we were, like, texting about it, being like, okay, I'm just going to come over, and, like, I have this shirt. And I think we can just go here. And she was like, okay, I have this pair of shoes and, like, this shirt. And we just filled the backpack with a bunch of clothes and just, like, just the two of us, like, went out and connected, like, just the two, like, to create together.
Yeah.
And those are some of my favorite photos, not even because they're of Hunter, just because I fucking love Hunter. And I think that's one of the reasons she's so successful is because she's herself. She can explore herself. Like, I remember her talking about the acting class when we were her taking an acting class when we were shooting, and I think she had just filmed the episode of the pilot of Euphoria, and it was like, I don't know, just her. I was like, this is it for you. And yeah. I was like, I know nothing is ever like it, but, like, this feels pretty dope, and, like, this is what you're doing now.
And I can even feel that, like, I'm a huge fan of Euphoria, and I can even feel that authenticity through her character as well. Like, even though somebody else has, like, written it for her, there's still, she's infused her authenticity into it as well. And her and Zendaya, and, like, the whole cast was fucking incredible, but like, it's really empowering to see that within her too, of, like, being able to own who she is fully. And that radiates.
And that's inspiring, because it, like, I was watching the first season, and after knowing her, she had this one monologue. I think I forgot when it was, but she had this one monologue, and I was listening to it and being like, bitch, this is just you. Like, this is just who you, like, you just are speaking. And, like, it's just so dope. I'm like, you're just literally talking, and, like, they're filming it. And it's true, though. And I was like, dude, this, like, that was one of the conversations we had that was like, this is fucking awesome that you're getting this, like, you get this platform to speak so vulnerably and openly about your experience, and this is going to change everything for everyone. Like, this is fucking amazing. So I think, I mean, I love Hunter very much, and her authenticity, and finding people like that in the industry and finding people like that in life in general is, like, all I feel in my, I don't know, that's it.
No, I completely agree with you. There's just something special about really just like being able to go deep with someone and like feel into like the true vulnerability of like the human experience.
Yeah.
And it's, well, it becomes less rare the more that you allow yourself to open up to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also super special to feel it in its like fullness.
Yeah, what life could be.
So what?
I just think about like what life could be, because you know, we look around at our world right now and a lot is happening, and there's a lot of contraction, there's a lot of division and separation, and opening up to the oneness and the vulnerability and the open-heartedness of just hearing each other, like hearing each other speak is important.
And it's, I kind of see it as well as like there's it's not something to even like get to.
Right.
It's available for us right here, right now, no matter what the circumstances of life are. Like, yeah, it can be challenging, and there is that restriction in certain areas and in certain environments. Yet you are, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying like everyone is capable of creating that safe environment for themselves. And it starts within you. Mm-hmm. Of, am I safe to just even vulnerably be honest to myself of how I'm feeling?
Yeah.
And that's challenging.
Yeah. I mean, something that I've been trying to do recently is even change my wording around it being hard and challenging. Mm. Like I'm just like, if I want it to, because I really identify with this in my own story where I'm like, oh, it's so hard. Like, oh my God, it's so hard to like feel, but it's like, it's actually not that hard because it's like, it's, if you're open, and a lot of our conditioning teaches us that it's hard or that it's wrong or that it's whatever, but like, it's our birthright to be able to just feel.
Yeah. And my perspective on challenging is different than, challenge can still be easy.
Right.
And my recognition of challenging and my own definition of it is, because in our society, the word challenging does kind of have a negative connotation, but mm-hmm. I see it as opportunity, and they are the same thing. And there really isn't a difference between the two. Like they're the same, they're just opposite sides of the same coin, where when I say challenge, I mean growth. And when I say things may feel harder, I mean pressure to expand. I realize, like, this is in one of my poems actually, is that the pain and the quote unquote challenge is not the thing that is actually hard.
Right.
It's the resistance to the challenge and to the quote unquote pain. That's the hard part. That's where we kind of, that even when it, like, coming back to the integration part, when we are resisting the change of the actual step-by-step, day-by-day things that we need to change to fully integrate the new lessons that we've created for ourselves, that's the hard part. And it doesn't, again, like you were saying, it doesn't have to be hard.
Right.
It can flow with ease. That doesn't mean it's not going to be challenging. And my belief of what the word challenging means, like, it's still going to hurt sometimes. Mm-hmm. You can't. In my experience, I haven't been able to, and I've tried really hard, to not experience the hurt of the pain of the heart shattering open.
Mm.
And I've tried to avoid it many, many times. And I'm beginning to realize, like, that is one of the biggest keys to living life is allowing yourself to fully feel that, because it's not that your heart is breaking, it's that your heart is like cracking open.
Yeah, the heart isn't destructible.
No, it's just like an onion. Like that pain that you experience through that challenge is just peeling the layers of who you expected and thought yourself to be to uncover your true identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a poet and I didn't even know it.
Oh my god, but you're writing poems.
That's a good line. I might have to come back to that one.
You're like, hold on, let me workshop this line.
Yeah, let me create a poem around that, please.
No, literally. I mean, that's where that's just it. Like these conversations where like we're both saying a word challenging and you feel a frequency behind it, I feel a frequency behind it, and there's a space to like have our hearts be heard about what that is. And like there's so many conversations that get shut down immediately because of like a word that someone uses. Or frequent, you know, not a frequency, but like a word that someone uses because someone's like, oh, that to me means this. But it's like, there are so many different meanings in the world. So let's like, can we just open that up and like, let's get into our hearts. Let's like, let's open that up. And can we hear what you're actually saying? Because I hear like you're speaking the words of my heart too.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Mm.
I love that example. And another one that I really love around that is like, it's like, I feel that words can belittle an experience so easily. Even like, especially the word love, like how the fuck, excuse like my, like, how could I ever bottle down my experience of like the infinite love of my being into the word love? Like, it's just kind of absurd.
Yeah, it's a feeling, you know, there's the feeling behind words.
Yeah, and there's not one feeling for love. There's an infinite amount of ways that you can experience love.
Right.
Yeah.
Ugh, language is like, yeah, that's one of my, like, I guess as Geminis too, like, I mean, I'll speak for myself, but like my Gemini moon and my rising, it like wants to be communicated. So I love finding like the right words, but of course there are times that like words just like don't do it, and it's about that feeling, and it's like where words carry us, like where those words, language carries us to a point, and then like the heart and the soul does I guess the rest.
It's like a tool and a pathway to go to the feeling.
Yeah
But I think it's interesting that you're a Scorpio sun, I'm Scorpio moon. And like, that's my way of like with emotions is like to deeply feel them. And this past like 2 or 3 weeks, there's been many times where I'll be like in this exchange with someone and not have words, but just allowing myself to feel my essence and also this exchange and interaction with the other individual as well. And I find that to be so much more beautiful than any conversation I could have.
Yeah. I know. I even just saying that, like, as we're like talking, like I feel the same fucking way. Like, I don't care about anyone's story. I mean, that being said, like, it's important to tell stories too, because like the story comes out, it get, like we're just saying, like the language gets us to the feeling. But yeah, dude, the just getting into that feeling, I'm like, okay, can we just do it? Like, I've heard this, especially when the story keeps coming up, I'm like, okay, I've heard the story a few times, like, can we break that open? Like, can we get into the feeling? And I'm in that process myself of just like doing it.
Well, and it's because there can be 1,000 stories that have that same one truth in the at the core of it.
Right.
And that's what we're really trying to portray. But the only way that we're really, well, at least at the density that we're living in right now, the only way to really portray that feeling is through storytelling. But I really do feel that we're entering into a new era of that as well, of being able to telepathy in a
sense. I hope there's less story. I mean, I'm kidding. I'm like, I hope there's less storytelling.
Like, get but to the point, bitch.
Okay. I'm like, let's cry about it. Like, please.
Yeah. Mm.
But yeah, I mean, that's like the whole whatever. I'll leave it at that. I could say more about it, but I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Wanted to come back because I think I love how this really became a guide for integration for people. I'm excited to like name this podcast, and it's definitely going to be about integration. So I think that has so much potency in it, and I kind of forget what the point I was trying to make with that. That's what it comes down to. You can think as long as you want, but until you actually feel the experience of that expansiveness as your truth, and not just that one time in ayahuasca while you're sitting in ceremony, but when you can conjure that feeling in any circumstance, that's when you've integrated it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. Period.
Yeah. Well, what were we saying?
That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah. This is so incredible.
Yeah. It feels really good.
Yes. Thank you so much. There was so much just like grounded. I could feel so much energy like coming through my crown chakra actually through all of this. And like, again, like for all the viewers out there, before we started recording, I was talking about how I just feel really open and just ready to receive and to just reflect. And I feel really good right now.
Yeah. Thank you for the space.
Yes. Thank you. It was so incredible to hear from you and like actually be able to.
Yeah. To finally talk.
Yeah.
Finally get into it.
It's been months in the making.
So funny.
Yeah. Like me thinking I was going to fly out to Costa Rica.
Yeah, I'm like, are you coming? You're like, wait, well, hold on.
Oh, bitch, I was close. Like, I literally, that night, I was like, I just sold my car. I had like $6,000. I was like, fuck, do I like buy a plane ticket to Costa Rica and go sit? But.
That's so funny. I'd be like, well, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here, and for all the viewers and listeners out there, if you are still with us, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here, and take some time to integrate whatever you felt through this podcast. There, whatever that sensation or belief or perspective shift that you experienced, or just a sense of profound expansiveness. It doesn't even have to be a thought, but if you felt something through this podcast, allow it and sit with it and be with it and just let it integrate into your reality. And yeah, just go back and listen to this again if you need to. Yeah, well, thank you so much for being here. I love you guys, and I'll see you guys in the next episode of Conscious Creation.